You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of July 13th, 2022, and coming this fall, the end of the world.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Abor.
My name is Scott Juster.
This is a series been on a humorous conversation about video games. Surprise, surprise, mother trucker. Man, I love that surprise meme, by the way. From
Yes, that's
Dokes.
It's a lighthearted meme from a simpler era.
From a simpler time. We're talking about a news story that you and I, you know, look, we've been wrong from time to time.
I'm pretty sure I'm on record saying that this game is never coming out this year.
Yeah, so we recently saw that Sony announced the release date of God of War Ragnarok with a very short 30-second, oh God, people think this game's not going to come out. We need to remind them that it's coming out. Don't spend your money yet.
Yeah.
Version of an asset, which they dropped, I guess, July 6th, I think last week.
Yeah, a week ago or so.
So the game is officially coming out November 9th, 2022. So allegedly it's happening. Now, I think per our discussion before recording, this is probably pretty much a sure thing. So we were wrong, right? Mea culpa. God of War is in fact coming out this year, which, hey, if we're going to get some big news about it, I for one am fucking excited because I actually haven't been playing a ton of games on my PlayStation 5.
Same.
Not a whole lot of big screen television games for me these days.
Yeah.
I am very eager to just get some, you know, one-on-one dad time, sitting in front of the TV, playing some God of War.
I, for one, am looking forward to locking my children in their bedroom so I can have a father-son moment with a video game character.
With my real son, Loki, who may or may not be 14 years old.
I'd also like to take this time to tell everyone that you're welcome for us willing this into a release date by doubting its existence.
Exactly right. Yes, it is the reverse paradox, right? If you if you say it enough something to be true, it'll be the other way around. So
I
wonder if there was doubt though, you know? Is it like I don't believe that Sony would rush it if they needed more time?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe we were just always wrong and they were just being cagey about it, you know?
I do wonder. I mean, it's because what is this? It's July. So, yeah, I mean, it's not even 6 months lead time, which is interesting. Usually there's a whole, you know, for these big games, a lot of times you just have this really big run up. But I guess maybe this is more indicative of just the modern way of doing things. You know, like you have a shorter cycle. You
100%.
Get it out there quicker. And, you know, it's just people are going to I think a lot of people are going to buy this game no matter if you have a super long preview cycle or just announce it on day one or whatever. So maybe it makes more sense like that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. I mean, it's so hard to predict what's going to go well and what's not, right? I don't think Horizon folks realized Elden Ring was going to be the hit that it was, right? So it's like, look, you just pick your date and go with it.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, I mean,
pray to Zeus.
God of War is going to make a huge splash. There's no doubt about that. I'm excited. I hope we get to play as the kid, you know? Because we didn't really play as him in the first game, right?
Yeah, you could just climbed on us and commands. Stuff.
Yeah.
You know, do the spells.
Well, do you want to actually? Do you want to play as the child, the boy?
The boy.
Boy.
Teen. He'll have to transition tween. Into calling him tween or teen.
Yeah.
I don't know, actually. I mean, I it's been a long time since I played that first game. I think it was 2018. I mean, it's over 4 years, I think.
Maybe we should replay it.
Or I know I briefly fired it up when I got the PS5 because I was just checking out what it can do to old games' frame rates, which is awesome looking. And I remember being kind of surprised by like the level of complexity of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I had forgotten all of the various combos and like button combinations to like pop off spells and then transition into the chains and transition back into the axe, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I wonder, but then I do remember being pretty satisfied with how it all turned out. I just wonder what they would do with like a playable Atreus, or would it just be like a different moveset, you know?
Yeah, or would it be like a live, quicker, ranged character? Yeah.
Or like, do they dare put like platforming into this game? You know, like maybe he's that segment, you know?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, what if we got a kind of Final Fantasy remake style?
Oh, game? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? Like, you know, you're playing as the Sun and then you combo into the Father's move, like as you input that command.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of like Avengers old school style, you know?
Yeah.
Thor's hammer and all that.
Man, yeah, that would be pretty neat. I mean, it's the framework that they created, I thought was pretty fun. And so, you know, they're building on something that's already good. Like, if this is just a Kratos exclusive game, I'm not disappointed whatsoever. It's just they had something that was very good to build on. And so maybe that's what they spend their time on, you know, something brand new.
I don't know if it can be, though. You know, like, thinking about that arc, too, of, like, his relationship with the Sun and handing it down, right? I think back to like, this is actually one of the games I was going to talk about when talking about surprises, but like the Walking Dead games, right?
Oh, yeah.
The way that like, it's such a natural fit to teach Clem when that first series ends, right?
Yeah.
It feels to me like the natural next step is for Kratos to sort of teach his son, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And well, I mean, for the Walking Dead stuff, then they continued it on with her as, you know, one of the main characters for the, you know, the subsequent seasons as well,
which was largely unfortunate, but
I mean they've already said that this is the last this is the end of the Norse series for them.
But does that mean that's not the end of Kratos per se?
I mean, every time we've seen Kratos, we've seen him with a literal hole through his chest with a sword, and he's come back. So
it's just so weird to imagine, like, we're gonna go fight, like, you know, other like, we're gonna fight Jesus and Vishnu and, like,
look out, Shiva.
It's just a little bit weird. I mean, there's like cool older deities, right? There's like Aztec gods and you know, African gods and like all kinds of like different religious groups that you can fight and stuff, but
yeah,
I don't know, man. I feel like just be done with that. There's other gods of war, you know?
So. Right. Maybe they loop all the way around, and the next the next one they are fighting, like, they're fighting the Avengers, the modern gods,
you know? Yeah, capitalism itself.
We're fighting the Rock, modern gods. Anyway, highly surprising to me. You know, like, obviously things can always surprise us still, but like, it was unexpected that they threw a date out there at this point in the year.
Yeah, and so to that end, we also wanted to talk a little bit about some other big surprises in video games.
Yeah. What has flouted your expectations?
Yeah, you know what to me was one of my favorite surprises was, and this is ups and downs, because there was first a good surprise and then a bad surprise, and that is PT releasing, being revealed as a Silent Hill game made by Kojima, and then not existing anymore ever again. Right. Like those two ups and downs, because you know, I remember when PT came out, it was super exciting and there was a lot of like talk about what this was.
Yeah.
And when you see that reveal with Norman Reedus at the end of PT, man, that had me fucking hyped. Like those names, that game, like it is not often that I think you see a combination of talents where you go, oh, okay, this is a cool thing. This could make sense in video games, because the lead times are so long. The, you know, games are made by so many different people, so it's not like a singular auteur, right? I think we see cool surprises like this in movies all of the time, where it's like, oh, the Fast and the Furious director is picking up the Gran Turismo films or something like that, right? Like, IP gets picked up, it's attached to a really popular name or attached to a really popular star, and it gets you hyped, right? When Avatar The Last Airbender got picked up by Netflix to do a live action show, right? Like, things like that are like, oh, whoa, that's cool. That happens all the time. Yeah. I don't think we get that in video games very much in regards to like designers. Kojima is probably one of a handful of creators in that space where you would genuinely be shocked. Like, what if Kojima was like, I'm gonna make a Kirby game now, you know? You'd be blown away. Like, nobody would see that coming, but you'd be hyped for it because the name and the property, right?
Yeah.
In the same way that I think PT and Silent Hill was, and then, you know, alas, yeah. We all know how that ended, but.
Yeah. I mean, I Kojima himself is kind of a constant surprise machine where, like, we were, it's sad too. We talked about this before we started actually recording, but it's kind of a bummer that a lot of our surprises are surprises based out of kind of skepticism where it's like, there's no way this game's going to be good. And then it turns out to be good. You know, like I don't know what that says. Like, maybe that's about the industry or about us or whatever. But like, I think Death Stranding was the same way where both of us were like, this game's probably going to be a disaster. And it turned out to be like a glorious disaster. You know, like it's kind of that sort of stuff. He does that a lot, though, you know, like almost every one of his games, I would argue, is kind of, it's shocking that the game turned out that way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that we're overly pessimistic about video games now that you mention it?
Because,
like,
I was
thinking about that. What, you know, one of the games I had here was, well, in a different context, but like Red Dead Redemption 2 was a surprise to me, right? Like, I think going into that, I thought the game was going to be trash because we were in an era where GTA Online was the dominating online experience, right? Like, it was making a killing. I didn't think the original Red Dead needed a sequel. I thought it had a beautiful arc, a perfect ending. Like, we didn't need it at all.
I
still don't think we necessarily need it per se, right. But I do think I was delightfully surprised by how rock solid of an experience Red Dead Redemption 2 was overall.
I try to be
positive. I don't know. I feel like it's time and a place, right? Like, you have to pick where you're going to put your chips.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and in that example you mentioned specifically, like, I remember being way more negative on Red Dead 2 than you. So, like, I think it was more just...
I mean, it's not perfect, but it's better than I thought.
Well, and I think they... I mean, I remember talking about this, like, there's just so much of it. Like, some parts of it were very good, and then you have 50 other hours of it, you know? So, but I do, I think that's a good example of something that seemed so encapsulated and not part of their, you know, not part of their plans, getting just like a direct sequel that also happens to be a prequel to the first game. It was a kind of a surprising move.
That was actually going to be my surprise related to that game, is that the fact that it continues on in a way that I think is actually like a really, it's some of the best content. It's like after the proper game of Red Dead Redemption 2, you know,
they backloaded it with the most compelling, like with the Marston stuff, which is you know, more, you know, probably more compelling than the other guy,
for sure. Not to hijack the whole conversation, by the way, but like, I want to list out another game that I was surprised by.
Yes.
Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle. Like, that's another one where I went in being like, this game is going to be absolute trash, to be honest. And I love that game. I thought it was so good.
Same. I mean, it's funny because I don't even really play those sorts of kind of tactical strategy games that much. Mm-hmm. Like, I have played XCOM, but not in the same. There are people that play hundreds of hours of those types of games.
Yeah, I've seen people with XCOM tattoos.
Yeah, I mean, those are just beloved games, and it's not that I dislike them. It's just I just never spent that much time. But that, everything about that game, from the IP to the unexpected announcement to the genre of mechanical game it is, was wild. And then they pulled it off in a great way. It's funny too. The script was funny. I mean, I'm very excited about that second game coming out.
Well, I also remember, and it was again one of those like E3 surprises, but when Miyamoto came out on stage at the Ubisoft press conference, and the designer was in the crowd, and he was like tearing up and stuff. Yes. Like, that's a really cool, delightful moment. And I don't know, in a weird way, sometimes it's nice to be pessimistic, because when you are surprised, it feels really good. You know, it really like fills you with those warm and snugglies.
There's a purity of just seeing someone that just truly is satisfied with how things are going. And it's like, you seem like you really deserve that.
Exactly.
So on my end, this is another Nintendo related thing. Do you remember when they announced the Nintendo Wii?
No, I don't remember that. No, not at all. It was long ago. But I remember it being weirded out by what it looked like.
I mean, I think I was in the camp of people that were like, well, like, the GameCube was, you know, popular, critically acclaimed, but it's kind of, you know, Nintendo's trying to find its place. Like, you know, the Xbox kind of came on strong late. The PS2 obviously like ran away that with that generation. And,
yeah,
you know, there's a group of people that are like, well, Nintendo's just going to have to get with the times. And but releasing that thing that is like essentially a generation behind hardware wise from like a, you know, processor perspective, but having this totally different input and, you know, just fully investing in motion stuff was a huge surprise at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it continued to be surprising because it was the most popular thing that they ever made.
Yeah, yeah. It's so funny when your expectations are like, this is what you have to do to compete, right?
Yeah.
And Nintendo's like, nah, nah. We're good.
We have all these old circuit boards from the GameCube still sitting around. So we're just going to make a Waggle remote. And
what
then
if you
we're
could
gonna
accidentally hurl your controller at your screen? We know you've been doing it anyway since you were a little kid. Let's empower you.
Now we're going to make it more missile-shaped to really crack those screens.
Exactly, dude. Exactly.
That pivot was wholly unexpected, I think, by a lot of people, by me for sure, and just the popularity. It continued to surprise. You know, I remember my parents bought, I wasn't even living with them anymore, my parents bought a Nintendo Wii, and that was just...
I remember talking to you about that, I think.
Yeah.
Because it, what a world that they're breaking into, you know?
Yeah. And they haven't bought a video game console since.
They don't still use the Wii for Wii Fit or anything, do they?
I highly doubt it. But like, what a weird aberration, you know? Like, what a shocking deviation from their normal course of like, well, the only reason video games were in their house was because they had kids in their house that played them.
Yeah.
Except for that one time when they bought a Nintendo Wii.
That's so funny. I wonder what they would think about that now. Like, hey, did you have fun? Did you play games? Like, what'd you do with that thing? Why did you buy that?
Doing time trials in Mario Kart? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe they are. Are there any other like hardware surprises to you? I would say the Playdate was surprising. I still don't have mine yet.
I don't have mine either. I got an email update saying that like, hey, it's coming, but they didn't tell me when though.
Yeah, same.
I think. I was always surprised at the PlayStation VR. You know, I think console VR was not something that was on my radar. And then the fact that they're doing it again, was another thing that was unexpected.
I mean, on a related note, I think I've always been a little bit surprised that VR hasn't taken off in the way that I kind of expected it to, you know?
Do you think it's a victim of like also the like economic times and stuff? Like it seems like we're finally getting to a point where it could have, where, you know, because for a while it's like you had to have a really nice PC and also you had to pay like almost $1,000 for a good like, you know, Valve Index setup or whatever. But like, and then the pandemic happens and then it's tougher to spend that money. Like, do you think it's like an economic victim?
I think for sure, like that's a major aspect of it. But part of it is it's an economic victim because even in the economy, though, people still spend money on video games.
Yeah. Right?
Like, the challenge is how much bang for your buck are you going to get? I mean, one of the major driving factors for people playing video games, especially younger generations, are being able to play with friends. And there's, I know that there are multiplayer VR games, but they don't immediately strike you as that's the space for it because you have something on your face, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's a lot of like, there's a lot of an uphill battle for VR. But in my mind, I thought, you know, when that came out on the scene, I wasn't super satisfied with it. But a lot of people were like, oh, whoa, this is a cool little gimmick. I can't wait until the technology gets better. And it just feels like it's only gotten better slowly or in ways that were more incremental than maybe I anticipated.
Yep.
You know, I am genuinely surprised that you and I do not own a VR system yet.
Yeah.
Looking at the specs of the next PlayStation VR, I actually do think fine. Because we used to make jokes over 2 years ago. Is this the year of VR? You know, like that was an ongoing joke on the podcast. I think maybe next year is the year of VR, though, Scott.
Maybe the PlayStation, the 2.0 VR does it.
Well, because, you know, looking at the specs and what the Sony's dedicated support to it, it's one of their key differentiating factors between themselves and the Xbox offering, because they can't make sense of, no one can make sense of their subscription service. So I think that a lot of cards are in their favor for, at the very least, supporting it in order to, if it's going to have a good go, I think this is one of the best attempts yet.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. The differentiation of, because it feels like Microsoft is not, has no interest in it.
Yeah.
And if they're going to do it, like that's, we just talked about, like, we haven't used our PS5s too much in recent months. And that would be a dedicated reason to use your PS5.
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Hmm. Well, what else over the years has been unexpected?
So this is like a totally random one, but I was really surprised to see Nintendo characters appear in Wreck-It Ralph. And just the general, like, video game movie space over the past couple years. The Sonic movie being somewhat fine, right? Yeah. Like,
two Sonic movies that seem to be popular and well-received.
Yeah, and even the announcement with, like, Chris Pratt is playing Mario, and, like, we're getting a Mario movie. It's just, there are, you know, for so long, we had so many bad video game movies. Yeah. And I think still to this day, most video game movies are bad. But even, like, the Pikachu film, not that terrible, right? Like, as a as a thing. But it's just, I don't think when I was younger, I could have imagined a world where these films were being made at all, whether or not they were good or bad, right?
Yeah.
But that they're making these films with as big of a budget as they are, and that Nintendo is engaged with that, because to me, they always seem like the company that held IP so close to their chest. They still are, right? In a very real way.
Yeah.
But I think it takes a lot of bravado to say, we're going to fucking cast someone else as Mario, for crying out loud, you know? Or, like, let's put Donkey Kong and let people play with these characters.
Yeah. I was thinking about that same concept, but going back even further, where, you know, the first Super Smash Brothers that came out for the N64 was just such a...
Right up there, for sure.
Mind-blowing departure of, like... And even in the... With retrospect, it's like, oh, yeah, I can see that they basically owned all those characters anyway. It probably wasn't a huge lift, but, like, the fact that Nintendo, a company that is so precious with their characters, was themselves making a game where their characters just hit each other, which is the entire game, was extremely surprising. And they just kept on building on that over the years to the point where now, you know, the Persona guy is hitting Banjo and Kazooie in the latest version of Smash.
Yeah. You still can't taunt. Well, I guess you can taunt, but, you know, I want some swear words to be thrown. Let's amp up the maturity rating.
I mean, you just have to involve the right characters. I remember when it was just Naked Boy Shulk yelling, "Show me your moves."
I'm really feeling it. God, man, I love really feeling it.
I mean, I think that Nintendo stuff is I wonder if there is any sort of line to trace between all that stuff where, you know, the rise of metaverses in general and Nintendo's weird willingness to partake in that stuff now has them. There's Mario and Rabbids, and there's the movie that's coming out, and there's Wreck-It Ralph, and, you know, all of that stuff has...
Well, I mean, you even talked about earlier this year about Super Mario 3D World experimenting with open-world Mario design.
Yeah.
You know, in a way that I think is genuinely surprising from just, like, an IP and design perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, they're willing to do stuff like that. That stuff has always been, it's a weird dichotomy because Nintendo is in so many ways a conservative company.
Yep.
And yet they have these big swings that they make, you know, with their IP sometimes.
Yep.
They're either suing you out of existence because you had the audacity to host a couple ROMs of 40-year-old video games, or they're letting Chris Pratt voice one of the most recognized characters in all of modern media, you know?
Yeah, it's wild. It's wild. Yeah, kind of on the same related note in regards to, like, just a changing up of something that you thought was immovable was the Final Fantasy VII remake, which we talked about briefly. But, like, I think, one, I was surprised that the game was good.
Yes.
But two, I was surprised, you know... The game is so old and so beloved, I never thought they would touch it, let alone that they would do so in a way that was so daring and interesting.
Like, they would purposefully undermine it, you know?
Yeah, like and really, like, reposition the story in, like, a completely new, almost like multiverse way, you know? Yeah. Like, this is its own separate, truly independent thing. You know, and we talked about the Dead Space remake recently and why we're so excited about it. And at the end of the and I think in our conversation we were talking about how there was a pre-Final Fantasy VII remake and a post-Final Fantasy VII remake world.
Yes.
In terms of what it meant to be a remake.
Yeah.
And I think that surprise, it was so groundbreaking that it's changed how I see remakes. And I hope that it's changed how people make remakes, because it really opens up the opportunity to like not just churn out the same IP because we need to, but to still take risks and move it forward despite the perpetual need to be related to something that people already recognize.
Yeah, it's such a... because they don't even reveal it right away, which is the funny thing. Like in that game, like you play a good chunk of that game and you're like, oh, this is an interesting retelling of that game. And then it slowly starts to dawn on you where it's like, oh, like they're questioning their own narrative, you know, their own history and their own fandom, like very directly, which is exceedingly rare in this day and age where it's mostly like you have to serve the fandom at all costs. And they're doing the opposite, basically, which is extremely surprising.
Yeah, wild.
Let's see if I had any others here. I talked about the Wii and Smash Brothers. We talked about that. Oh, this was weird. I have a lot of Nintendo ones, but I think this is just like a genre departure. I was... when they released a new Metroid and it was a first person like 3D exploration game with Metroid Prime. I remember being that was like a huge departure from another what genre everyone expected. And I feel like that in a way that has kind of, I don't know if it was ultimately like good or bad, because it seems to have called into question a lot of like, okay, like what is Metroid even these days? You know, like that last Metroid game I didn't think was that great. Like they've kind of been going back and forth as to, you know, what Metroid even is. They're trying to make another Prime, but like for better or worse, you know, that first Prime game completely shifted what I thought those games could be and like how they could be presented, and in a good way, I think, but it was a completely unexpected way, you know, at that point in time.
Yeah. Are there any surprise games that you were surprised were as huge or successful as they were? So, like, as an example, I have Rocket League on my list. Because that's a game that I think when it came out, I did not expect it to sort of take the world by storm, you know?
Like, I mean, I think that, like, Rocket League
esports is... esports are still going on for Rocket League. It's wild.
I think it's a great example. Not only that, because they had another similar game that just never caught on, you know? So it was a, like...
Right.
Not only is it a unique game and unique genre, it's a right place, right time, you know, that just so happened to work out. I mean, this perhaps calls into question my ability to, as a prognosticator in general, but...
What are the kids into these days?
I mean, it is like seeing things, it's the most basic thing in the world, but like seeing something like Fortnite and like what Fortnite became.
Yeah. Or Minecraft earlier than that. Yeah.
Minecraft is same way. Among Us, you know, any of those types of trying to seeing what hits and why it hits and trying to figure that out. All of those games that we just listed, from Rocket League to Minecraft and everything in between, you know, that sort of, all of those to me were surprising. Right? Yeah. I mean, I think. I don't know. Maybe the commonality is something around, you know, accessibility and, you know, being able to access it on so many different devices or machines, or access it cheaply or something. But
I mean, dude, if I knew what the kids would be into, I would be rich right now. Like that would be if anybody could do it. Like that is your secret to success, you know.
You know, the fact that they're making Star Wars movie announcements in Fortnite, you know, when those movies were coming out, it's just. You know, there are people in the game industry that are, you know, paid consultants that are meant to help people predict if a game's going to be a hit or not. And I have a hard time believing that anyone could have thought that Fortnite would have beat everything out based off of just what Fortnite is, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Same with like Five Nights at Freddy's and stuff. Like there are games like that where it was hugely popular, and for whatever reason, I just never really anticipated it.
Yeah. I mean, I would argue Epic themselves didn't realize that, because they were making, like, Fortnite was a mode in a other game that they were making. Yeah. And then they realized, oh, this Battle Royale thing seems pretty good. Like, let's now all become billionaires. And here we are, you know?
Yeah. Before we leave, are there any games? I mean, this is the impossible ask, but can we anticipate the next surprise? Like, what is something that if you were to say it out loud, you'd be like, that's probably not true, but maybe.
It's like, check out the 2025's hottest video game. It's an open world ice climbers game.
Yes. Yeah. Or what if, like, I mean, maybe it's more about being optimistic, right? But like, what if the next Star Wars game is just really fucking good?
I mean, you know, there's one a lot of like heat behind that game right now. So like, it could very well be, you know, like hiring all those, you know, well-renowned developers. Like, yeah,
I mean, maybe very much. You know, maybe it's possible. I don't know.
I wonder if there's something, you know, what do you...
Or like Overwatch 2. Does that actually hit?
Oh my gosh.
Not a chance.
I mean... only on the NSFW subreddits. I think that will be the biggest video game of all time.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's something on, you know, what will be the Fortnite equivalent, game that comes to Game Pass? Like what will blow up on Game Pass and be like hand in hand, the thing that people subscribe to Game Pass to get access to that game, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like we are like waiting for something, like something is waiting in the wings, you know, to like blow up and be like the go-to service for them.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't quite happened yet, but like all the groundwork is there.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know,
you think Bayonetta 3 is going to be good?
No, but again, well, I mean, maybe I should be surprised. Maybe I need to be pessimistic so that when I am delightfully surprised, you know, it'll be great.
I mean, because I don't think Nintendo has committed to a date on that yet, so they could still, you know, they could pull a Sony that, you know, just now and say like, haha, Bayonetta in December, like everyone, in December. You know, like, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so. But maybe.
But maybe us saying we don't think so, that'll push it.
No games will ever be good again. This is my tactic. Watch me then fall in love with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle Royale coming this September.
With the crossover from Scooby-Doo and the gang.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. We will leave it there for now. Interested in what people think, unexpected things people will see coming in the future.
Yeah.
ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. Surprise! You can find us wherever you find podcasts. If you've been listening for a long time, you know that already. But hey, you know who doesn't know? All of your friends. Tell them. Text them.
Tell them.
Send them a letter.
All right, everyone. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be talking to you next week.
Ciao.